Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, November 6, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza, finally. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You also may watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right, so how am I feeling? So my update is not too bad. The one residual thing I have is after a long day at work, I feel extraordinarily tired, and sometimes that fatigue spills over into the next day. It's not as bad on Tuesday into Wednesday because I don't see patients on Wednesday, but Thursday into Friday is hard, and then I can wind up being very tired on Saturday morning. I don't know how much of that is hydration, just working hard nonstop, how much of it is, but if I can figure that out, how to make myself not so extraordinarily tired at the end of the day, just normal tired, that can be corrected by resting and sleeping at night, I'll be all set. Some of it is hydration. I know that I have to keep drinking, and I have to drink water with electrolytes in it, which really helps. I don't know if there's some element of the blood pressure medicine is making me tired. The blood pressure medicine, I think, dehydrates me somewhat, so drinking the water with electrolytes is very helpful. I found these lovely electrolytes that taste really mellow. They are a little fruit flavored, and they have mellow amounts of electrolytes, not a ton of salt in it, but a little bit, but some magnesium and potassium. So they appear to be helpful. The lisinopril I'm taking 5 milligrams, and that's a kind of a low dose, not the lowest dose, but the second lowest dose. I went to the doctor and he's happy with that dose for me. So I'll be on that dose for a while and we'll see how it goes. If my blood pressure stays decent, then that'll be my dose. And then I have to work on lowering the sugar and caffeine in my life and see if that's helpful too. My cholesterol is a little bit up, and I don't have all the information about my cholesterol. So when I see what it is, what all the information is, then I have to work on that as well. So you turn 60, even if you're a naturopath, you still have health issues that you have to work on. It's very tiring. It's a lot. Don't think that just because I'm a naturopath, I'm perfect. I'm certainly not. I have inflammation. I have chronic Lyme. I have post-vaccine syndrome.
You're a mess.
I have some cardiovascular issues. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, so, and it could be much worse, of course. I mean, I'm well enough that I can ride my bike, which I did the last 3 days, which was great. 2 outdoor rides and 1 indoor today, because when we got up this morning, it was 24 degrees. So by the time I was ready to get on a bike, it was 38 degrees. And for an hour ride, I'm not going to suit up and get on the road. There, a few years ago, I might have done that, but I'm not going to do that anymore. It's so much easier for that amount of time to just get on the trainer because I didn't have Zwift a few years ago, and Zwift is just makes it so nice to have that virtual platform. And it's almost like riding on the road. It's the next best thing. And some people can't stand riding indoors. Sometimes I don't feel like riding indoors, but on a very cold morning when I don't have a lot of time, it's the thing. So that's going on. I have my knee. My knee is doing pretty well. A couple of weeks ago, it went out again and I wasn't able to ride, but I let it go for a week. And then I got a really good bamboo-infused compression sleeve that really helped. I believed the hype on the internet and I bought it and it was true. It's really soft. It's really comfy. It keeps you cool when you're hot and hot when you're cool. And it's very comfortable to wear. And I'm not wearing it right now because I thought I'd give my knee a break. I don't like to wear it in bed, although it says you can. But other wisdom says it's a good idea to take compression sleeves off when you're sleeping to give your body a chance to do its own healing.
So is the bamboo for breathability or is it for... Is there some sort of natural curing?
I don't know. It could be for, yes, it could be for breathability. It could also be for, there's minerals in bamboo. I don't know that the minerals would enhance your knee in any way, but I just wonder if it is breathability and the amount of the way it's knit, it's knit in a way that's very helpful. Right. Not sure.
Back when I was in the clothing business, as you know, I was in the sporting goods clothing business for a long time. I found that I was bamboo had ways of drawing perspiration off of you and making you more comfortable.
Right.
That's what the primary thing was about.
Right.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah. So probably it's a nice thing because it does say it helps you either with not to be too hot and not to be too cool. And I do have nightgowns because, you know, I tend to sweat at night. I have nightgowns that have bamboo in them and they keep me pretty cool. And I've actually been able to wear long sleeve nightgowns the last few nights because it's been cold in the house and not sweat. And we even did the flannel sheets already. Time for flannel sheets. Can you believe it? Even though it's going to be, we're going to have a 70 degree day this week and we had a 70 degree days last week.
I like flannel sheets.
Yeah, flannel sheets are nice. Mm. Yeah.
They work for me.
It's really good. Mm. Yeah, so I on Wednesday of this week, which may be happening, you may be listening to this on Wednesday of this week, I'm going to go to Dr. Moss at UConn, and he's going to take a look at my knee. My knee is doing fine right now, so, you know, that's how it goes. You freak out, because I said the next time I get sidelined, I'm going to go to the orthopedist. So I did that, and now, of course, it's much better. So anyway, he'll take a look at it. He'll decide if I need an MRI or imaging or what to do. And I'll get some advice from him. I'm hoping not to have a cortisone shot because I'm doing so much to rebuild the knee. And cortisone eats away at tissue, even though it reduces inflammation. But it's not particularly inflamed right now. But he'll tell me. So we'll see. Anyway, so we'll report on that next week. So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling the same thing I have been feeling, which is I have severe fatigue in my legs and I can't climb stairs without major fatigue. So that hasn't gone away. And we're digging into it. I'm waiting for the kit that Amy ordered.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive Lyme disease test.
We're
going to
do a deep dive Lyme disease test.
Right. And
see if maybe it isn't Lyme disease. I've got some other ideas out there too, but right now I'm kind of restricted as to how much bike riding I can do outdoors because when there's a hill, there's a problem.
Yes.
And that has not been part of my life at this point.
Right.
So, and it began back in the spring or late winter, I will say, of 2024.
Right.
And it has not really changed a lot other than going 3 steps forward and 10 steps backwards.
Right.
So it just doesn't really seem to get better.
Right. Yeah. So that's
where I'm at.
Right. I know. And so one of the things you thought about today was, could it be intermittent claudication?
Right.
Could I be
having some sort of a circulatory problem with my legs
and
therefore not getting oxygen to my legs, which is therefore causing severe fatigue and who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, and intermittent claudication is when you have atherosclerosis in the femoral arteries, the arteries that feed your legs.
Right.
So it usually up top near the top of your femoral arteries, the arteries that feed your legs. So
and they can do things about that from what I've read,
yes.
You know, that you can get, you know, basically it's...
Stents.
Well, they could do a stent or they could just run up through your groin or through your... There's two different places they enter, and they can go and kind of clean it out, basically,
is
what they can do.
Yeah.
So that would be cool.
If all of a sudden
that solved the problem, that would be, like, exceptionally cool.
Yes.
But, you know, first I want to get the Lyme test to see if I'm not fighting against the wrong
And in the
thing.
Meantime, if you can do a simple test for, like, if you can, I don't know what the testing is for intermittent claudication.
If
they have to do an angiogram or if they can just do an ultrasound. I don't know.
Right.
If you do an ultrasound for your carotid arteries,
Right.
And that's all it is. It's a carotid Doppler. Is just you just to see if you have atherosclerosis in the carotid arteries, you just do an ultrasound.
Right.
So maybe because the femoral artery is easy to get to, maybe it's just an ultrasound, which is why you should talk to your cardiologist about that.
Right.
You can do that at the same time while we're waiting for the tick test.
Right.
And
right.
Meanwhile, we gave you a Lyme tincture. Yeah, right. Which you're taking right now, because it's not going to hurt you to take it.
No.
So we'll see if it does anything for you. And it has Japanese knotweed and Chinese skullcap and cryptolepis and a couple other things. And I gave you some black walnut to take. And yeah, so it's a combination of a bunch of Buner herbs, and you're taking that right now. And we'll see if that does anything for you. And if it does, then you'll keep doing it.
Right. Right. But,
The thing is,
is going to be immediate.
Right. Probably. And so, meanwhile, we'll get the test done. And if the testing is positive, then you have to do higher doses of all those herbs.
Right.
Like I do.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
One of the things that I found out, I have support from my naturopath, Marissa. She really wants me to do, three dropperfuls of all these different herbs. And I don't think my body can handle it. And meanwhile, I'm getting better and better. So I'm doing 2 dropperfuls of all the different herbs. I did add back in Japanese knotweed and cordyceps. I had taken them out because I thought they were giving me headaches. And I don't think that's what was giving me headaches. What was giving me headaches was all the alcohol in the tinctures. That I'm not somebody who likes to drink. I mean, I drink, I won't drink alcohol for months. And then I'll have one, when we went to a wedding or on a holiday, and that's pretty much it. But I was having the equivalent of 1 drink every 3 days, which is a lot for me. And, first thing in the morning, I'm taking a drink, an alcoholic drink. And 3 times a day, I'm taking a third of a problem? Exactly. So I told this to Marissa. She said, it's simple. Boil some water, throw the herbs into the water, let it sit. Alcohol will burn off, and you'll have a lot less alcohol. And so I did that. I started doing that, and much better. And I can take the cordyceps. I can take the jab. So I think it was the alcohol. So I don't know if it burns off all the alcohol, but I think it burns off most of it. The drink doesn't taste nearly as much like alcohol when I drink it, and it's much more pleasant to do. So thank goodness for that.
Can they make tinctures without alcohol?
If you're going to extract herbs in alcohol, the definition of tincture is herbs extracted in alcohol.
Okay.
So technically no, but what you can do is you can extract the herbs in alcohol, burn off the alcohol, and then you have the constituents, and then put them in something else. Like you can put them in water, or you can put them in glycerin. You can do glycerites, so you put herbs in glycerin, but glycerin is not as good a solvent as alcohol. The alcohol is the best solvent for herbal constituents. That's why it's used. So if you want your herbs to be strong and to get all the constituents, you have to extract it in alcohol. But if you don't want to do alcohol, you can put it in hot water and let it sit, and the alcohol will burn off. If you are somebody who really can't have any alcohol, for example, you are
in recovery.
Yes. Yeah. So you probably wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want to buy a product that you were going to ingest that had alcohol in it, because people, places, things. So in that case, you would either get glycerites or you'd get encapsulations. And there are encapsulations and powders and things for tick-borne illness. And some people prefer to do that. I'm doing the tinctures. The tinctures are easier to do if you can do them. I don't have a problem over consuming alcohol because, like I said, I'll go months without consuming any alcohol. My rule is if I feel like having a drink, I get to have a drink, because I rarely feel like having a drink. Like I said, I think the last alcoholic drink I had was at the wedding, and that was September 21st. And it's already early November. I haven't had a drink since then. So I'll probably have a drink on Thanksgiving, which is also my birthday. So that'll be exciting. Are we going to Sister Susan's this year?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I'm not 100% sure. Cause yeah. I don't know if they're going to DC or not.
Right. Oh, right. They might be going to D.C. Right.
Because, there's a grandchild now.
Yes, there is. It's all true. So we might have a quiet Thanksgiving.
Well,
which
we'll
would
see.
Not be terrible.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that they're not going.
from what I remember.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, they could go another time. Yeah. So, so Ron and I feel like we can't say what our political leanings are, but we just want to shout out to you that we're recording this show before Election Day. Please do vote. That's your way to have your voice, and that's all we can say. But, we're glad that the election is about to happen so that by the time you're hearing this, if you're listening on Wednesday, Election Day is over. And so the anxiety from the election will have calmed somewhat. We'll have an idea of what's going on. And so we'll have an idea of what's going on, you know, later in the week. And, the stress of listening to all the back and forth between the political parties and people and their concerns around the election, it's exhausting. So I'm looking forward to it being done as well. And we're probably not going to know the absolute winner for a while, at least a week, wouldn't you say?
We'll see. I'm not predicting anything at this point because our country is a little scrambled.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens afterwards. So
I think a lot of drama is going to happen afterwards.
Yes.
Either direction, I think a lot of drama is
there will be a lot
happen.
Of drama. Yes.
Yep.
And maybe because we think there will be a lot of drama, maybe there won't be.
I doubt that very much.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about something that has nothing to do with the election and has nothing to do with me and Ron and our health challenges. Let's talk about fall vegetables.
Yum, yum.
So I'm excited because this weekend we're going to go and visit my friend Annette, who lives only like 40 minutes from us. And I went to high school with her, and I was in plays with her in high school. And we have our choir director and drama director, Tom Cardia. His birthday is on November 5th. So remember the 5th of November, right? Which is Guy Fawkes Day also. But it also happens to be Election Day. So he's going to be 80 years old, Mazel Tov. And so we're having a gathering for him. And so we're going to go up to Brimfield to participate in the gathering. And Annette is vegan. So I'm going to make a vegan dish that I'm kind of excited about. It's going to be real simple. I found some almond meal-based sweet potato gnocchi. So I'm going to mix the almond-based sweet potato gnocchi with a red sauce and some broccoli. And I got some gluten and dairy-free vegetarian meatballs. So I got those because I didn't want to bring meat to any kind of animal protein to Annette's house. So it's going to be vegan. And so I'll be psyched to see how it comes out. I think they're Italian seasoned. If they're not, I'll put some Italian something on them. So that'll be interesting. And they're cool because they're actually grain free. I believe there's potato in them because usually for gnocchi, there's potato in them. So there'll be potato, sweet potato, and maybe it's just sweet potato and almond meal to hold them together. So it'll be yummy. So we're going to try that. So anyway, we had talked about three of the fall vegetables. The fourth fall vegetable that's exciting is Brussels sprouts. And Brussels sprouts, Ron and I are not big fans of Brussels sprouts. I have managed to consume Brussels sprouts when you do a lot to them. Like if you saute them and put them in you caramelize them and, you know, put them in maple syrup or something or in barbecue sauce, then I can handle them. But just steamed Brussels sprouts on their own, I can't do it. And if you like them, mazel tov, because they're really, really good for you. They are a cruciferous vegetable, and they do have sulforaphanes in them that are wonderful anti-cancer compounds. So if you like them, they're one of the best things you can eat. Brussels sprouts and broccoli, really, who are, again, both cruciferous vegetables and have all the anti-cancer and detoxifying properties of cruciferous vegetables. They're really good for you. So you can roast them with olive oil and sea salt, and they have a lot of fiber, potassium, calcium, folate, vitamin K, and vitamin C. And you can get great recipes online for them. Cabbage. Cabbage is full. So I enjoy cabbage. I really don't mind. I love sauerkraut and I don't mind crunchy cabbage in my salad. And, you know, when I was a kid, my grandma used to make stuffed cabbage. In Jewish, we call them chalupchas. And in Eastern Europe, they call them galumpkis. And they're balls of meat. So the meat is usually mixed with rice and seasoning. And then they're wrapped in cabbage. And then they're covered in a red sauce and baked. And that was stuffed cabbage. And that was a stuff of my childhood. Good stuff. And they have a lot of vitamin C, K, manganese, and antioxidants. Also have anthocyanins, especially the purple cabbage. So it has wonderful antioxidants in it. If you eat sauerkraut, you're going to get a beneficial probiotic, Lactobacillus brevis. Beneficial probiotic is probably redundant. But anyway, Lactobacillus brevis is what makes your sauerkraut. All you have to do is take your cabbage, sprinkle some good quality salt on it, like real salt from Utah, you know, Redmond sea salt from Utah, and sprinkle it on, cover it, and leave it for 2 weeks, and you'll have sauerkraut. And that's it. You maybe cut it in a few quarters, and you'll have sauerkraut. And that's real good for you, too. And the other thing is sauerkraut has a lot of glutamine in it, and so, well, cabbage does too. There's glutamine in the leaves, and glutamine is very healing for the surface of your digestive system. And in fact, an old nature cure for ulcers is cabbage juice. You actually juice a cabbage and drink the juice. You can cook cabbage. When you cook it down, you have to get inside the leaves. And cabbage, if you eat it raw, you're going to get some good enzymes and stuff, but because it's so hard, it's a harder vegetable, you have to chew it really well to get inside the cell walls. So this is one of those vegetables that a lot of the anthocyanins, and the glutamine, you have to do something to it to get a significant amount of those things. So sauerkraut and roasting and sautéing and, steaming. Boil if you have to, but, you know, boil it and use it in a soup so you don't lose the nutrients. So it's really good for you. Then there's cauliflower. That's a good hearty vegetable as well. And the neat thing with cauliflower is it's very mild tasting. So you can do things to it to pretend that it's mashed potatoes or rice. Cauliflower has fiber and folic acid and potassium and more phenolics that are antioxidant. It has carotenoids in it. And like I said, you can mash it and season it like you would season sweet potato or potatoes and make mashed cauliflower. You can also turn cauliflower into rice just by, you can do it by hand. You can do it in a food processor. You can also do it by hand. By roasting it and then cutting it sideways, and it'll turn into little crumbles, and then you can pretend it's rice. You can put a stir fry over it. You can make Spanish rice and season it. You can make Indian rice and put curry and cardamom and those kinds of seasonings on it, and it's much lower in carbs and has a different nutrient profile than rice has. So people are trying to keep their carbs low. Riced cauliflower is a great way to go. Then there's carrots. We have tons of carrots and we keep getting carrots. The nice thing about carrots is you can keep them cold and you can, we have an excess of carrots because we keep getting them, gifted them. And so we have a lot of them. And so we're going to keep eating them. We eat them in our salads. We eat them in our soups. Ron made a fantastic stew that he likes, just a chicken stew with a bone broth base. And, and a chicken, an actual chicken in it, and then cut up potatoes, cut up carrots and seasoning. And it was just lovely. And was so nice to have our first soup of the season.
Yeah, very soothing. A good one.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's like we're transitioning into fall. I'm wearing long sleeves. I'm wearing long pants. And later this week, I will not be wearing long pants because it's going to get warm again. Go figure. But anyway, carrots, I take beta carotene drops in the morning, but I also eat lots of carotenoids. We eat our salads and we eat our. I got Ron to get bok choys, which we'll probably have in a stir fry this week, right?
I guess so.
Really yummy. So that's great. Then there's parsnips. We don't use parsnips a lot, and we could. Yeah, we should do that. Parsnips could go in a soup. So we should get that. They're very similar to carrots, but they're sweeter and starchier and have fiber, vitamin C, and provide magnesium. They have a different flavor profile than carrots. We should have them. And then turnips. We don't tend to eat big turnips. Why don't we eat turnips? Are we not that crazy about them?
I guess we're not that crazy about them.
We're not that crazy about them, but they're good for you.
I like salad turnips.
Right, the little salad turnips, the small turnips, the ones
they're
that
like,
we cut up
like
and eat raw.
Spicy and
they're a little
nice.
Spicy. Well, most cruciferous vegetables, when you eat them raw, they have a little spice to them. I cannot remember if radish is a cruciferous vegetable. I'm not sure if it is. Can you check that? Turnips are. And we get these small turnips.
What did you want me to check?
Yes. Are radishes a cruciferous vegetable?
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Or you could just ask, are radishes in the mustard family? You could ask it that way as well. That same thing. Turnips are in the mustard family, and turnip greens are lovely. Turnip greens are they're a little sour. They're not bitter, and they're really nice to eat. And we should eat those. Those should go in the soup, too. Turnips, the little white turnips, you can cut up and you can eat them raw. So we cut them up and put them into salad, and they're very nice that way. Turnips have vitamin C, folic acid, potassium, vitamin A, vitamin K. Really good for you.
Radishes,
and then there's,
I got it.
Yes.
Radishes are members of the
Brassicaceae. So they are in the mustard family.
And cabbage family.
So they are. They are.
Related to kale, broccoli, cauliflower, horseradish, among others.
That's right. So they are. Yeah. The one, Brassicaceae is the Latin name for the mustard family,
right.
Or the cruciferous vegetable family. So then there's celery and celeriac. So celeriac, we can get that at the farmer's market. I said, Ron, do you want to get celeriac? He's like, no. But also celeriac is another thing that's good in soup, and it can give it that celery profile.
Right,
it's celery
I put
root.
Celery in the soup.
Okay,
so,
that's good. So
yeah.
If you already got the celery, that's
yep.
good. So when we run out of celery, we consider getting a celeriac. Or not. We'll see. Celeriac is crunchy on its own and softens when it's cooked, like potatoes and turnips. And there's vitamin C, phosphorus, and B vitamins in it. Then there's fennel. Fennel, you can eat the seeds, and you can eat the fennel, the bulb and the whole thing. And you can cut that up and put it into your soup or your stir fry. It has really great compounds in it. It's antimicrobial. It's anti-inflammatory. It even has anti-tumor compounds, and it also has antioxidants. It has phenolics and bioflavonoids. It has tannins and coumarin, so it's going to help thin your blood a little bit. And then there's vitamin C and A and some potassium in it, which is great. Then there's green beans. We always tend to eat those on Thanksgiving. And other times, I like the crunchy ones that you can get in the bag. Those are good, too. But regular, you know, plain green beans, if they're good green beans, you can just sit and eat them, and they're wonderful. They're really good in the fall, so if we can get green beans at the farmer's market, we'll get them. They can be eaten cooked, raw. They can be dipped into hummus. I had a surplus of hummus because I was eating a sort of Mediterranean lunch, and then I stopped and started eating turkey sandwiches again. So I've started putting the hummus on my turkey sandwich, and that's very good. Hummus is delicious. You know, whatever hummus you get, it's hard to get bad hummus. And the hummus from our local Mediterranean restaurant is par excellence. My other favorite hummus is made by our friend Christian, who is Lebanese, and he makes his hummus with love. I think the guy at the local Mediterranean restaurant also makes it with love, because you can taste it. It's terrific. And it's as good as store-bought hummus is.
The wrap guy?
Yes, the wrap guy. The, yeah. the hummus there is, hummus made by a person you know is always better. And I should try making hummus. I have to, maybe. I should have a hummus party with Christian and have him show me what he does. You know, hummus, green beans themselves have folate, fiber, manganese, vitamin K, A, and C in them. Then there's kohlrabi. It's another cruciferous vegetable. And it's high in C and fiber and has immune support, heart health, and digestive support. And then artichokes. I love artichokes. And either the globe artichoke or the Jerusalem artichoke, but this we're talking now about the globe artichoke. Globe artichokes are similar to milk thistle, in that they have a compound in it called cinarin, which is really good in healing for your liver. It can help to regenerate liver cells, as can silymarin, which is in milk thistle. So artichokes are really lovely. You can steam them and then dip them into it's good to dip them into fat, because then you absorb the nutrients better and they'll work on your liver for you. So you can dip them into olive oil. You can dip them into organic butter if you want to. And they taste really good that way. If you dip them into a seasoned olive oil or butter, even better. And they do have iron and protein in them. You can also stuff artichokes. You can also add the hearts. We love artichoke hearts in our pasta and on pizza. And I would eat artichoke hearts on their own. They're just lovely. And then there's arugula. I love arugula. Arugula is another cruciferous vegetable. And it has a very peppery taste, which I adore. And I could just sit and eat arugula out of the bag. And, you know, we get arugula for our salads usually. I don't like to cook arugula. I like to just eat it raw. It's a light green, so you can eat it raw. Some people don't like it because it's peppery, but I love that peppery taste. And you can make arugula pesto if you want to. And you can sauté it and put it on pasta and pizza, but I think if you sauté it, it's such a light green. I don't know if you'd maintain that peppery taste. And so there's lists and lists of vegetables that you could eat, like spinach. We love to make, and spinach, our favorite thing to do. There's two things I like. I like spinach salad with bacon and shrimp on it. That's really good. Like warm spinach salad with bacon and shrimp and walnuts on it. That's a wonderful way to eat spinach. And the other thing is we like to make saag. And saag is an Indian dish where you puree the spinach with lots of spices and salt, and then you put some kind of protein in it. Saag paneer is the best way to go, but I'm not doing cheese, so a paneer is Indian cheese, and it's a very mild cheese that will take on the flavor of all the seasonings that you put in it. We will do other sources of protein. Sometimes we do extra firm tofu, sometimes we do tempeh, sometimes we do shrimp. Most recently we did shrimp saag, and we've also done chicken saag. So we'll have it over ramen, we'll have it over rice, and I'll have it over quinoa. And you could have it over, you could have it on its own, or you could have it over riced cauliflower if you want to. Really lovely. Leeks and onions and garlic, these are a good fall vegetable, and they're plentiful in the fall. But I can't eat them because they bother my stomach. If they bother your stomach, you can try cooking them down a lot. I can eat them if they've been dehydrated, like commercially dehydrated. So I can eat them in a seasoning if they're not too strong. So we have this everything bagel. I can eat everything bagels and I can eat everything bagel seasoning. But if you put actual onions and garlic into, like fresh onions and garlic into a soup or stew, I can't do it. And I can do commercial tomato sauce that's been pasteurized, so the onions and garlic have been cooked way down. That's okay for me. So if there's a little bit, then I can do it. But they're so good for you. They have the isothiocyanates in them. The isothiocyanates are sulfur-bearing compounds that are blood thinners, and they're anti-cancer. They're detoxifying, really good for your immune system. Then there's chicory. Chicory is great. Chicory has inulin in it, and inulin is a great prebiotic. So chicory will help to regulate your blood sugar because of the inulin, and it will also help you to make good probiotic in your gut. It's very good. Some people like to have chicory instead of coffee, that they brew roasted chicory like coffee, or they have coffee with chicory in it. And you can get, you know, chicory powder that you can put into your coffee if you want to. And there are some cultures, I think in Switzerland or Sweden, I'm not sure, where they generally add chicory to the coffee, and they really like it that way. Then there's Swiss chard. Swiss chard is lovely. I like to make massage chard salads out of chard. And what I do is I put a whole bunch of olive oil on it with some good quality salt, and I rip up the chard and cut up the stems and have mostly the leaves, and then I massage the chard until it's wilted, and that with the olive oil and salt, and then I put molasses or pomegranate molasses and balsamic vinegar over it, and then I'll add pecans and a fruit, either raspberries or goji berries, to it, and either vegan or real feta cheese, and it makes a wonderful salad that way. Then there's endive, that's related to the lettuces, and we don't use that a lot, but that's something that can be sauteed or it can be used in your salad. Beets are so good for you. Beets are a great root vegetable, and beets are, if you need more circulation and nitric oxide, beets are really, really good for you. Beets have betalains in them. That's what gives them that deep red color, and the betalains will help you to increase your nitric oxide. And nitric oxide will relax your blood vessels. It can help lower your blood pressure. And it can also open up your blood vessels. So people will take beet shots before they do exercise. And they'll have a better workout. I used to find, I haven't done it in a long time, but I would do a little beet juice before a workout. And find that, I have to get the workout started. That feeling, I wouldn't have it because the circulation goes right to your brain. It's really nice. Then chili peppers. So hot peppers are really good. Some people have reported that they have had their first bout of chili this year. So chili peppers can go into your chili, whether your chili is vegetarian or has some kind of animal protein in it. Certainly can be sauteed into a stir fry. Chilies can be ground and put into hot cocoa too, if you dare. You can do a little bit of cayenne pepper into your hot cocoa with cinnamon. You have a Mexican hot cocoa, and it's really a powerhouse of antioxidants and nitric oxide boosters. So again, hot peppers have vitamin C in them, and the capsaicin is a nitric oxide enhancer. So it helps to open up the blood vessels. Then there's edamame, which is soy pods that you roast or that you steam, and it makes the pods. Well, you don't really eat the pods. You eat the roasted soybeans inside, and I really enjoy those. I like roasted edamame where the beans have been taken out and they're crunchy, and those are a great thing you can put into your salad. You can eat as a snack. They can go into your trail mix. I really like them that way. And then eggplant, of course. Eggplant, if you eat the skin, you get the antioxidants in them. And eggplant is very hearty. And you could make an eggplant lasagna instead of, if you want to make your lasagna lower carb, you can use eggplant instead of pasta. And it makes a really nice lasagna. And you can make your lasagna with meat or without meat, with cheese, without cheese, with cheese substitutes or with tomato sauce, with meat or meat substitutes, whatever you want to do. Herbs. It just says herbs in this list. Of course, there's all kinds of herbs and spices. When you add herbs and spices to your food, you're going to enhance its health properties, because just whatever you use, whether it's cilantro or cardamom or cinnamon or fennel or cloves or something savory. Savory is actually an herb you could use. Oregano, marjoram, thyme, all of those things have various health properties to them. And when you look at healthful diets, they often include seasonings. Horseradish. Horseradish is really good for you too. And horseradish is really spicy. And I have people who like to eat horseradish because it's spicy, but the spice doesn't burn your tongue, doesn't last for as long as capsicum does from cayenne pepper, so people can tolerate the spice from it. Horseradish is a great tonic for your liver. Then lemongrass is listed here, and lemongrass is something that's calming, and it has nervine properties. You can drink it in tea, and you can add it to any food that needs to have a lemony property to it. It's going to be nice in fish. It's going to be nice in stir fries. It's going to be nice in any kind of animal protein. It's going to be nice in your vegetable protein as well. Lettuce. Well, lettuce, of course, if you're going to have a salad, you can't overlook lettuce. Lettuce, various lettuces, whether they're going to be more helpful for you, the greener they are or the more purple they are. And you can certainly have lettuce with salad. You can have lettuce as a wrap if you want to lower your carbs. You can have a wrap lettuce around some kind of protein. So if you want to have a turkey sandwich that without the bread, you can do a lettuce wrap. And so if you use bib lettuce or leaf lettuce, you can do that quite easily. You're going to get carotenoids in it, and if it's purple, you're going to get anthocyanins, wonderful antioxidants. Then there's okra. Okra is favored down south. If you cook okra, it gets kind of slimy, and that slime that's in okra is really good for you. It's mucilaginous, and the okra, it has mucilage in it that's healing for your lungs, for your digestive system, and for your bladder. We already talked about peppers in general. So peppers generally have vitamin C, and peppers, if they're spicy, like I said, they're nitric oxide enhancers. Potatoes have lysine in them, and they have prebiotic fiber in them, so they're going to be good for your digestive system there. And if you bake potatoes or cook potatoes in some way and then stick them in the fridge, now you have resistant starch, and resistant starch can slow your digestion down and make you more satisfied and help keep your blood sugar even. Then there's pumpkin. Pumpkins for eating, really, really good for you. They're low in calories. They have a lot of beta carotene and other carotenoids in them. And pumpkins can be eaten, like most squash, pumpkins can be eaten savory, and they can be eaten sweet. And you can put them in a pie, and you can make a sauteed pumpkin dish. You can put pumpkin into chili if you want to, or into a soup. And you can eat it roasted with a little bit of maple syrup and cinnamon on it, or no maple syrup and a bunch of cinnamon and cloves and nutmeg. Really wonderful. Radicchio. Radicchio is another leafy green that you can eat. And any dark leafy green, again, is going to have carotenoids and minerals and magnesium in it. Radishes. We talked about radishes are a wonderful plant that's really good for your liver health. It's another cruciferous vegetables and has that spicy peppery note. Rutabaga is related. It's similar to turnips. They're very similar to turnips. I remember when I lived in Newfoundland, they were really big on both turnips and rutabaga, probably because they grow into the cold season. And, you know, it was cold a lot. The cold season lasted. I don't think it was that much colder up there than it is here. It was colder in the summer than it is here. But In the winter, I don't think it was that much colder. It's just the season was longer. So you wanted to have hardy vegetables that you can grow when it's cold and the ground is cold. And so we would get kale and rutabaga and turnip and carrot and cabbage, things that were hardy and could withstand cold. And so that was one of the things we would get. Shallots are related to, they are an allium. They are related to onions and garlic. And so you can slice them up. They give flavor to anything. Again, I have issues with them because I don't do well with the alliums, with the onions and garlic and stuff. But they are lovely and delicate, and they can add flavor to any of your dishes, any of your savory dishes. Tomatillos, little green tomatoes. You can make fried green tomatoes. You can make relish with them. You can roast them and season them, and they're lovely that way. And they're going to have a lot of the same properties as red tomatoes. So they're going to have vitamin C and minerals and beta carotene and lycopene in them. Mushrooms. So we could go on all day about mushrooms. Mushrooms in general are really good for you. Just because you could do a whole piece on mushrooms. But mushrooms are really good for you, especially if they are cooked in water. So you get the beta-glucan out of the beta-glucan becomes bioavailable. And the beta-glucan is the stuff that helps to clear your arteries, lower cholesterol, and is an immune tonic. And then squash, all kinds of squashes, sweet ones and not so sweet ones. We still have some spaghetti squash in the fridge.
We have a lot of squash.
Yeah, we have a lot of squash. We have a surplus of squash. So we should be probably be cooking a squash a week.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. Maybe I'll cook one tonight.
Yeah, we'll cook a squash tonight and we'll have some squash. And you can eat squash on its own. I don't know what we're going to do with the squash. I guess it depends what we're having for supper. But we do lots of different things with squash. And sometimes we eat them. Ron will drizzle a little maple syrup and cinnamon on them and just bake them and we'll eat them like that. Or maybe butter. They go in the soup. Sometimes they get stuffed with quinoa. You made squash, like a quinoa.
Yeah, I did a stuffed, I took chicken and quinoa or rice and a couple of other vegetables and kind of made it into a stuffing. And
yeah.
Put them into the, and carved out the squash a little bit, used some of the squash carvings, mixed that all together.
Yeah.
And put them into the oven and put either cheese or fake cheese on them, depending on what variety you like, whether you're dairy or not, and then baked it and finished it so the cheese melted over the top. It was great.
So, you know, I got some raw milk cheese this weekend at the farmer's market, and I had a little bit of it in my salad one night. I did fine with it.
Okay.
So I don't know if that means I can eat cheese again. I'm probably not going to, but I think I will get that cheese and have
it. Small quantities.
Yes. It was really good. It's so different than the fakey cheese.
Oh, yeah.
The fakey cheese I know isn't going to bother me, but the real cheese probably has, pardon me, more health properties to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be careful with it. I'm probably not going to eat it every day. I can eat butter. My body does okay with butter. Zucchini is great. That's another thing you can do. You can make zucchini. Now I have hiccups. I think I was listening to Howard Stern, and he played a montage of of newscasters getting the hiccups and apologizing for having hiccups. Anyway, so I just hiccuped a little bit. I can talk about hiccups and what they are, and we'll do that later. All right. So anyway, zucchini, you can take zucchini and get a spiralizer, or you can buy spiralized vegetables at the store. Get a spiralizer. You make zucchini or a food processor that has a spiralizing attachment, and you can make zucchini into a spaghetti shape, and it's a very low carb spaghetti, and then you can treat it like spaghetti. You can put red sauce over it or pesto or butter, and you can put any kind of a protein and a vegetable protein or an animal protein over it, and it's really delicious, and you get the texture like it's spaghetti. It doesn't taste exactly like spaghetti, but zucchini has a very mild flavor profile, so it'll take on whatever you put over it. We talked about celery already. Celery, I'm not such a big fan of raw, but I really like it in cooked things. I like it in soups, and I like it to season things, and Ron has been using it. Celery is very detoxifying, and there's that guy, the medium guy, who thinks you should drink celery juice every day. And I think if you haven't been eating a healthy diet and then you start drinking celery juice every day, you are going to feel better. I don't know if we need to do that because, you know, we eat vegetables all the time.
What's with the celery juice?
It has detoxifying properties. It's got vitamins and minerals in it, and it's a kidney tonic. It'll help you clear stuff out through your urinary tract faster. It's good. Mm. Collard greens, which we don't eat a lot because he doesn't like them so much, but I like them. But anyway, collard greens, because they're a heavy green. Ron's not a big fan of heavy greens.
Yeah.
And yet they're very good for you. So, I mean, they're very good. You have to cook them way down. They're really good in stir fries. They're really good, especially if you do them the southern way where you put some kind of animal protein and fat in them, some smoky animal protein and fat, then you have nice collard greens. And the collard green liquor, of course, if you steam them or boil them, you make sure to consume the liquid somehow, either in soup or on its own, because it's full of nutrients. Collard greens are one of the most nutritious leaves you can eat. They're very deep green, so they're going to have a lot of carotenoids, a lot of chlorophyll, a lot of vitamins and minerals, be really good for you. Ginger, we're big fans of the ginger, whether in tea or seasoning. I like candy ginger. We like ginger beer. I like ginger ice cream. Ginger can enhance just about anything. Chocolate-covered ginger. Ginger in candy, just absolutely anything. Ginger is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It's anti-inflammatory for your stomach. That's why I keep the candy ginger around just to chew on if I have an upset stomach. The tea is really great. The ginger tea is really great if you're sick. It's an anti-inflammatory for whatever you have. Ginger is also great for helping with cough. So ginger, honey, lemon, cayenne. You can leave out the cayenne if you can't handle the hot stuff. But ginger, honey, lemon, cayenne is a great tea to make if you're sick. And, it's great anti-inflammatory, mucus clearing, antimicrobial, really good for you. Peas are a great winter food, and you can do peas. Now, early in the summer, you get the pods, either snap peas or the snow peas, and you can eat the whole thing. But you can get frozen peas or that you've been keeping, and they're a great thing to add to your soups and stews and chilies and things like that. And then yams. I say yam funny. Yeah, there was a wait, don't tell me. There was one of the selections for, it was a selection and one of the questions, it was something about something being buried on Yam Hill Street in Portland. And I was like, I've been there. Yam Hill Street is it's in the Southwest and it's also in the Southeast, and it's near Hawthorne, and Yam Hill Street was where Body Moves was, where I used to dance. And anyway, they mentioned Yam Hill, and Yam Hill just it evokes a hill where they grow yams, and just with a light breeze and trees growing and fields of yams. But yams and sweet potatoes, they're not exactly the same thing. I think yams tend to be a little sweeter and a little darker in color than sweet potatoes, depending which sweet potato you get. They're all good for you. They are not in the same family as potatoes. Potatoes are in the nightshade family, and not some people believe that you don't eat nightshades when you have inflammation. Well, sweet potatoes and squash and yams are not nightshades. They are in a different family. Can you find out what family are yams and sweet potatoes in? Anyway, so they have beta carotene and other carotenoids in them, and they have that resistant starch. So once again, you can roast them and then put them in the fridge, and now they have resistant starch, which will help regulate your blood sugar and keep your and slow your digestion down, so you feel more satisfied and full, so they can possibly help with fat loss. So yams and sweet potatoes are lovely. So
let's see, yams, sweet potatoes, starch vegetables, tubers.
Yes,
like potatoes.
Yeah, but it's a tuber, but that's not the family it's in. It's not a Solanaceae.
Sweet potatoes are in the morning glory family.
Oh, okay. Is that Ranunculaceae?
Convolariaceae. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so that's interesting. They're the same family as morning glories. So when you grow a sweet potato, they have a morning glory-like flower?
I don't know.
I don't know. So that would be something to look at. So fall and winter vegetables have antioxidants like flavonoids and carotenoids, which I keep spouting about, your beta-carotene, lutein, zeaxanthin, all those guys, vitamin C, A, and K. Not really A. They have beta-carotene in it, which can be converted to vitamin A. They have a lot of fiber in them. They have potassium, magnesium, and calcium. And all those nutrients can support a healthy immune system and help your digestion. And they can fight inflammation and free radical damage, support for healthy elimination, so you'll go to the bathroom more regularly, manage your appetite, especially when you have that slow-moving, when you have the resistant starch on board, and they can control your calorie intake and help you with weight management. They can promote healthy blood sugar, cholesterol, and blood pressure levels. You can roast them. You can roast fall vegetables. You can mix a bunch of them on a pan with olive oil, salt, and pepper. You can make faux potatoes with turnips or cauliflower. You can make soups and stews. You can puree sweet potatoes or squash. You can make fennel soup or creamy broccoli soup. You can make cruciferous vegetables and use them to make a grain-free pizza crust, or get grain-free pizza crusts that have them in it. You can make fall salads with leafy greens, carrots, and roasted vegetables. like sweet potatoes or kohlrabi, and you can use green beans and other vegetables to make casseroles. And be careful if you have a FODMAPs issue. Some of the cruciferous vegetables might have a FODMAPs issue and make you gassy. If that's true, you have to figure out which ones make you gassy and which ones don't. And it's not with the whole FODMAPs diet, the fermentable oligo, di, mono, and polysaccharides. That's roughly what FODMAP stands for. People tend to be sensitive to different ones. If you are on a low FODMAPs diet, it doesn't mean a no FODMAPs diet. It doesn't mean you have to avoid all FODMAPs, just the ones that bother you. So, and sometimes you can take enzymes to help with that. All right. So fall vegetables grow in the cooler months of the year, like September through November. And you can use cruciferous vegetables. And they have vitamin C, potassium, magnesium, fiber, prebiotic, lots of antioxidants. And you can use them in veggie soups and stews, omelets, veggie burgers, faux potatoes, and stir fries. And they're really good for you. So, boy, that took a long time to get through all the fall vegetables. Mm. Very good. So, so we're just about done today. So we have, so there's lots of fall vegetables that you can eat. I've been having some fun with exercise. I've been doing more rail trail rides and not going out for as long because it gets cold. And we're going to have a warm day this week, which is kind of interesting. And I just wanted to throw out there, consider making fall hot cocoa. And the hot cocoa could have, it could have a little bit of a less sweetener, like coconut sugar or evaporated cane juice, or you could even use a substitute like stevia or monk fruit. You can use raw organic cocoa powder, and then you can add in cinnamon, possibly cayenne, and you could put cardamom in if you want to, and nutmeg, and make a hot cocoa out of that. And you can put, if you do well with raw milk, you can do raw milk. And if you don't, you can use a dairy substitute and make a lovely hot cocoa. And then you'll have a lot of flavonoids, and you'll have something that's warm and inviting. And ginger is another thing you could put in there. And you can also, and so then you'll have a drink that's warm and a little bit sweet and tastes like chocolate and is really good for you. And it'll help increase your nitric oxide and have anti-inflammatory herbs in it. So I'm going to let you go and talk to you next week about some more nutritional stuff. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am France Dorch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at France Dorch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.